What's up, church? How you guys doing today? All right, good, 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 good. I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word church. Some of you guys may think of the church that you grew up in, maybe the church you just left, maybe you think of the building like the, you know, stone or brick church with the big steeple, something like that. Maybe you think of this, okay, and I hope you do. But regardless of what you think about when you hear the word church, you don't think about what the first church thought about. Does that make sense? All right. The first church didn't have any buildings like we do. They met outside many times. In fact, for the first 300 years of Christianity, the first church, I mean, it was illegal to be a Christian. And so they a lot of times were actually meeting underground, like in tombs and stuff like that. I mean, just crazy stuff. They met in packed out houses, and they didn't have coffee or hot chocolate or the band or comfortable seats, things that we're used to in church today. But one of the cool things about the first church is that they were led by people who actually walked and talked with Jesus, okay? I mean, they were led by people who heard the things that Jesus had to say and who saw the things that Jesus did. And that first church, we're so thankful for because they wouldn't shut up about this Jesus guy. And so through 2,000 years of incredible sacrifice, here we are today sitting in an old truck dealership, okay? That's what it looks like. But some things, obviously, have changed, okay? Culturally, the way we do church has changed. It's just different. But there's some things that haven't changed, specifically what we teach, okay? Our teachings, what we call the Bible, all right, God's words, that hasn't changed at all. And by the way, can I just say this? If this church, if it's me or anybody else walks up here on stage and starts teaching something contrary to the Bible, leave, okay? You have my permission. Leave and don't come back. Find you a church that does. Now, the problem with teaching the Bible is that you can't just skip all the hard stuff. Okay, and so today we're going to be talking about one of those hard things. We are going to be talking about money, all right? The gasp, okay? All right, feels super heavy in the room already. Like I'm talking about something we shouldn't be talking about. Like, oh no, he's doing it. All right, yeah, we're going to do it. You feel the awkwardness? It's there. All right, I see something. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, it's there. We're in a series called Bold Move, and this series is just different. What we are planning on doing is we are laying out our plan for the future of our church, and we're talking about some opportunities that it sure seems like God has for us as a church family to take. And so sometimes what we realize is that we need to just sit down and kind of have one of those old-fashioned, you know, family meetings, and that's what this series is, okay? So I want us to picture we're kind of all sitting at the kitchen table, kind of hashing some things out. We're talking about some of our problems and some of our issues that we somehow got to figure out. Okay, and by the way, if you're new, you are invited to the table. That's totally fine. We're not saying you have to jump in. We are not saying you have to contribute in any way, but feel free to listen in. I'm really only talking to the people in our church that you consider Grace your church home. And so again, we know that if you're out there, you're kind of kicking the tires, figuring out what this church is all about. You're still trying to figure out if you even want to be here. This is a great series for you to come to because if you don't want to be a part of what's going on here at Grace, I think you'll know, okay? I think that's true. So what we are here is we're really just a big dysfunctional family trying to save as many people as we possibly can. There is urgency to why we do what we do. And that's what we're all about, which, by the way, is the exact same mission as the first church. It's life change. That's what we want to see. And we have been so fortunate here at Grace is that we get to see a lot of that. And check out Spencer's story.
I'm Spencer Stover. I'm a freshman at the University of Toledo. I grew up going to a Catholic church, and my brother actually started playing guitar for Fremont Grace, so we would just go to see him every so often. One time, my friend Elijah saw me there and invited me to a few student ministries at Tiffin Grace. Kalahari 2022 came around, and that same friend Elijah invited me, so I went. On January 8th, 2022, on that Saturday night, I asked Jesus to come into my life for the first time and be my Savior. Life after accepting Jesus has just been so much better. I got connected with Grace and started serving Sunday mornings as a camera operator. As a freshman at UT, I'm still pursuing Jesus. I joined a few Bible studies, and I'm actually the president of a student organization called Active Christians Today. Even though I'm away at college, I was still able to come back this winter and serve as a camera operator for this year's Kalahari retreat. It was really amazing to see over 2,500 students worship Jesus and see over 200 students give their life to Jesus for the first time in their lives, just like I did. I'm really thankful to my friend Elijah, who invited me to Fuse in Kalahari. I'm also really thankful to the many people who sacrificed to provide a place for me to find Jesus and choose Him.
See, what's cool about that is that whatever we've been doing here at Grace, God has been using us, and it's been working, right? I mean, we have seen God use us to reach people here in Northwest Ohio. I mean, it all started 5.5 years ago, where we started with 200, specifically here in Tiffin, we started with 200 of our, what we call our launch team members. And as of last year, 2024, each Sunday, we averaged around 914 people. Now, we've done that in 5 years in a town of 17,000 people. That is unheard of. I think it's easy for us to kind of get used to it. Honestly, it reminds me of Acts 2 in the first church, where it says, every day the Lord added to their number those who are being saved. And so for us here at Grace in Tiffin, statistically, literally over the last few years, God has been adding to our family almost every day. Here's some numbers to prove it. I showed you guys this last week. But over our three campuses, we've seen 1,707 people that have said, hey, I'm giving my life over to Jesus for the first time in our life. We've seen that in the last 5 years. And those are the ones that we know about, okay? We've had 675 people get baptized and take their next step in their relationship with God that way, and we've seen 950 new families that have joined our church. And now that growth, which is really good, and that's a complete God thing, it's a miracle in and of itself, that growth is awesome, but it has created some challenges, okay? And for us here at our Tiffin campus, our biggest challenge is simply space. Especially in this room, we feel like we can do better than this. There's many Sundays where during second service, this service right here, that we are just out of seats and we have people walk in, they can't find a seat, and they walk out, they leave. And so we want to be more bold. And last week we kind of unveiled our plan to build a new auditorium that we want to do here at our Tiffin campus. Hopefully when you walked in, you got kind of a brochure that we had. If you didn't get one last week, you could have gotten one, or hopefully you got one today. If you don't have one, you should grab one. Even if you don't call Grace or Church home and just kind of checking things out, that's totally fine. You could get one at the information center after the service. But grab one of those. But what we need to do is we need to build space for people who simply aren't here yet. And so what that will do is just kind of throw out some highlights for us. Number one, that will give us centralized lobby space. We want lobby space is kind of in the middle of everything. We don't want to build hallways. It's kind of a wasted space to us. We want to build this centralized lobby space so that's simple for a guest who walks in these doors to be able to kind of figure out where to go. We don't want it like a maze or a hospital. You've been to hospitals, you're like, you know, where am I? You know, we don't want it to be like that. We want it to be simple. And so this room will actually be part of that lobby space, all right? We'll convert this back over. There used to be doors there. We actually put the doors back in, and this will be kind of some of the core area. We also desire that as a church, one of the things that the first church did is they spent time together, okay? We don't want people coming in and then rushing right out because there's no space in our current atrium, which we see. We want people sticking around and talking to each other, hanging out with each other, because that's what the church does, because we are a family. And so that space will also allow us to do that as well, and keep it simple for guests. And so it does kind of those things for us. Number two, this allows us to secure our kids' space. Basically, what that means, I'm not saying your kids are in danger or anything like that, all right? What I mean is we want all our kids' space in one section, okay? Right now, we got kids in, like, every nook and cranny that's not in this room all over our building, which is awesome, okay? And our volunteers and our children's Grace Kids staff are awesome. But we want to kind of have we want them to kind of be in their own little area. And so that will allow us to kind of basically everything outside this room in our current building will all be dedicated to children's and Grace Kids. And so that will allow us to do that. This will also allow us to have office space. One of our issues here in Tiffin is we don't have space to put employees and pastors and stuff that we need to do. We as a church staff, as our pastoral staff, the honest truth is we do not do a good enough job of pastoring you because we just don't have the man hours to do it all. And so we know we need to hire more people, but right now we don't have any place to put more people. And so that's an issue for us. Almost a year and a half ago, I had to ask Blaine, Blaine up here, I was like, hey, Blaine, man, could you work at home for a while? Because we don't have any space for you. And he was like, okay. And he did it, and I appreciate that. And this week, he just upgraded to the nursery closet, okay? So he's back in the building. We got good news. But we have an issue. We have issues with that. And so that's something that we need to get figured out. And we need to come up with office space to do that. The other thing this will help us with is this will help us try to figure out what we're going to do with parking. Now, for me, I'm usually one of the first people here, and I'm one of the last people to leave. So I never have to deal with the parking. But I hear it's kind of a mess out there. Am I right? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. For sure. So this will allow us, and we're working on some things at this intersection. We're trying to figure some things out there, and we need more parking. And so this will allow us to do that. Now, what we don't want to do is put a bunch of money, and it's expensive, right? We don't want to put a bunch of money into parking and then build a building on top of it, okay? Because that's a waste of money. We also don't want to build parking and then have to cut trenches through it, because we already know that with this new building, we're going to have to put in a new underground electric line and sewer, and then we have stormwater and just all this stuff. And so we don't want to put parking and then have to dig it up for all these different reasons. We need to do the building first, and then we can put in permanent parking and things like that. So that's how that will work. It kind of needs to be done in the correct order because of money. But the most important thing that this project will allow us to do is it will give us auditorium space. And we want to build an auditorium that has at least 1,000 seats. This is something our church and some of you guys who have been with us for a while, this is something that we have done before. When our church was about 600, we actually built a 1,000-seat auditorium. That's the building that they use at our Fremont campus right now. And here we are in Tiffin. We're at 914 as of last year. We're bigger now even. And we're looking at kind of doing the same, if not slightly bigger. And so that's what we're looking at. But that will help us in many different ways. It will help us with all the space and help us figure out our issues. Our band, you guys won't have to walk outside in the rain anymore like today. That'll be awesome. I know you're excited about that. We could actually have a way to get backstage without going through outside in the freezing cold or whatever. And so that's we're excited about that. Now, the question is, and this is the question that I have, this is my most important question, I'm just like, how much will this thing cost, you know? I think a more important question for us is how much is this thing worth? How much is it worth for us to continue reaching our families, our friends, our coworkers, and our community for Jesus? Real quick, I want you to listen to Dennis and Melissa Simo's story, who are actually part of our launch team, who has been with us for quite some time.
My name is Dennis Simo, and I have been a believer for 34 years, since I was 21 years old.
And my name is Melissa Simo, and I have been following Christ since middle school. We were married in 2004. We were looking for a church to call home. Here in Tiffin, we were not finding one that suited our needs, so we tried attending a Grace in Fremont, absolutely loved it, and started attending regularly there in 2007.
Shortly after that, Melissa talked me into getting involved in the music ministry. That was really meaningful for me because I could give of some of the talents that God has given me. I could give back to the church and do something that I love doing and serving.
We heard about the idea of Grace opening a Tiffin campus in 2018, and the thought of having a church closer to home was definitely very appealing, especially with him traveling for worship team. And we would have to take two vehicles, two different times, and that was a lot. But we also were very connected to the Fremont campus, to the music ministry, to Pastor Kevin.
We also knew that it was difficult to invite people to church because of the distance and the fact that we weren't in our own community.
And when Tiffin campus opened, was wonderful because we could invite many people that we knew, and they've continued to attend, so much so that now we have another problem that we have so many people attending, we're starting to not be able to invite people because we know that there's not the space that we need.
So we look at this next season, that's coming, and we know that the church has outgrown the current facility that we have. There needs to be a significant sacrifice made by those of us that are here and call this our church home. And we know that the way forward to keep reaching people for Christ is to create more space that will create more ministry opportunities, and it will provide those seats for those who have not yet come, who may not even be believers yet.
We are very excited for the opportunity to grow as a church, to make the sacrifices that we'll need to make, because ultimately, we want to reach more people for Jesus.
And so, like Dennis and Melissa said, we are quickly running out of space. And we, as a church family, like, it's time for us to make a sacrifice, for us to make more space. Last week, we heard the number, okay? The number is, it's 8.5 million is what it looks like it's going to cost. And I think that's a pretty accurate number if we build within the next year or two. But for me, when I see that number, I'll be completely honest with you, I think impossible. Right? I look at that and I'm like, dude, there's no way. Like, the logical mind in me is like, I don't see that happening. But then I also know that what did not happen in heaven, right? Like, I don't think last week God was tuning in hey, let's see what's going on in Tiffin this morning. He tunes in and he's like, whoa, 8.5? I don't think I could do that. Where am I gonna get that kind of money? All right, why is he saying that number? All right? Now, I think God looks at that and he says, oh, that's easy. All right, that's nothing for me. But I also think it'll be a challenge for them, and so I like it. And so God has given this challenge for us, right? Whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, it doesn't really matter, right? God has given us these problems for us to fix. And so that's the thing. When it comes to money, all right, God gives us two options, right? We can either use our resources for our own temporary happiness and comfort, which we are really good at doing, including myself, or we can use our resources to make an eternal impact on others, right? And that's what we do here at Grace. Every dollar, just to reassure some of you, every dollar that you give goes to reaching as many people as we can and accomplishing our vision of saving as many people as we can in the short amount of time that we have. What really drives me crazy is once in a while I'll be talking to somebody and they're like, oh, well, the church is all about money. And I'm like, okay, not our church. Maybe some churches out there, sure, but we aren't, right? And or the pastor's all about money. And I'm like, no, I'm not all about money. I'm all about my own money, but not yours. Like, I don't care what you do, right? Because this is for me too, right? This isn't me teaching you. This is all of us together saying, hey, dang it. We got to walk through this together, and we got to figure this out. See, I'm not just a pastor here at Grace. I'm a member just like you, all right? We're all equal here. My family is a part of Grace just like your family is a part of Grace, right? This right here is a home to us. Whether I'm the pastor or not the pastor, I'm meant to be involved financially with reaching people. I'm meant to be invested. In fact, Jesus one time says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Basically he's saying, hey, don't store up for yourself a bunch of money, a bunch of wealth or a bunch of stuff, right? We all got stuff. He's like, don't store up a bunch of stuff for yourselves because that stuff just doesn't last, right? It eventually will be destroyed or get stolen or something like that. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys or where thieves don't break in and steal, a place where it lasts, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, Jesus is reminding us, he's saying, hey, accumulating stuff doesn't last, right? It just doesn't last. There's not enough money on earth to keep you healthy forever, right? There just isn't. There's not enough money on the planet to give you great relationships or to help you find real purpose in your life, right? You can't buy your way to true happiness. You just can't. And so here's Jesus. He's saying, hey, you want to know the secret? The secret is don't invest here. Invest there. Invest in saving people because people are the only thing you can take with you to heaven, right? You can't take your stuff. Can't take your cash. It's going to bother somebody. You can't even take your dog. Okay, I'm just saying. All right, and cat, we know it's not going. All right, we just know that. And so you can't take your stuff. The only thing you can take to heaven is people. That's it. And so the question is, what does that look like? See, in the Old Testament, God tells the Jewish people, he says, I want you to do this thing. I want you guys to tithe, okay? A tithe is a super churchy word. You probably heard that before. Only at church, okay? That's like only a church thing. But basically, let me try to explain what this is, all right? Tithing is basically us giving back to God a portion of what God has given to us. And so a tithe, literally, the word means 10%. Tithe, get it? 10, all right? That's what it means. It's 10% of what we have earned or what we have been given, all right, by God, we give back to God. And so a 10%, a tithe, is really what we see throughout the whole Bible. The tithe is really the standard, right? Like the, almost like the low, let's call it the baseline, the lowest standard when it comes to giving. Basically, what we see in the Old Testament is God saying, this is what people of God do. Now, I know some of you guys out there, you've been Christian for a long time, and you've worked through this before, and you're like, whoa, that's Old Testament law. I don't have to deal with that. All right, that doesn't apply to me today. All right, I'm not attached to that. Well, I just want to say a couple things just to you, if that's you out there. Number one, tithing was happening before the Old Testament law, all right? So it predates the law. So you're gonna have to deal with that. Number two, Jesus in Matthew 23 says literally, don't neglect the tithe. So do with that what you want, okay? In fact, the principle of tithing, I say 10%, it's actually more than that. And this is what I mean by that. In the Old Testament and what we see throughout the Bible, the tithe, what he wants when we tithe, is he wants our first and our best 10%. That means something more, right? That's a little higher standard than what we even naturally think. And if you're pushing back, I'm just saying, look, I'm just telling you what the book says, all right? That's what it says. Now, for me personally, Kate and I, many years ago, we decided that we're going to do this and that we were going to start with 10% and we're going to give back to God. And again, for us, that was our standard. That's our baseline, what the Bible talks about and clearly says. But what we decided is we're going to give 10% of what God has given to us. We're going to give back to Grace. We're going to give back to our church. Now, we also give 1%, maybe 2% to other good organizations. There's some organizations here in the community that we value and we think bring value to our community, and so we give to those things as well. But for us, standard bottom line, 10% of everything that we make goes to Grace. That's first. We do that first, right? We try to give God our first and our best. So that means, just to make sure we're all on the same page here, that means for me and my family, I'm not saying this to brag, I'm just saying this because we're all on the same playing field here, right? This includes me too. That means every dime that I make, I give a penny to the church, okay? Every dollar that I make, I give a dime to the church. Every $10 that I make, I give a dollar to the church. Every $100 that we make, all right, we give $10 to the church. Every $1,000 that we earn, we give $100 to church. Every $10,000 that we earn, we give $1,000 to the church. And if I made $100,000, all right, every $100,000 we make, we would give $10,000 to the church. That's what we would do, all right? That's what we feel like God has called us to do. And for me, if I want to, you know, just to be totally transparent, for me, this is hard. Like, I'm a money guy. Like, I got a master's in business. I'm wired this way. I have financial goals. They're pretty lofty. I want to pay off the house. We got all these savings. We save for this. We save for that. We got all these, like, accounts. We got a tight budget each month, and Kate loves it. Okay, I'm just telling you. No, just kidding. She hates it. Okay, but we try to work through this stuff together, and we try to be responsible with our money. And I'm just like, in general, I'm cheap. Okay, it's true. Last week I had a free entree at Chipotle. Okay, you get what I'm saying? I'm about to go get me a big burrito bowl, better than the burritos because you can fit more stuff in it, okay? So a better bang for your buck. I'm cheap, okay? So I got the free entree, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to Chipotle. I was going for lunch, and the Chipotle is, like, packed out like they usually are, and so you're waiting in line the whole time. You know, there's a bunch of people eating in there. They got a bunch of people behind the counter, and I get up there, and I'm like having them double I know all the things at Chipotle that you could get for double for free, like double rice, double cheese, double lettuce, like all that stuff. And so I'm like loading up on all the doubles. And then I'm thinking to myself, because whenever I go to Chipotle, I usually get the chicken because it's like a dollar cheaper, okay? Because I'm cheap, all right? That's who I am. And so I'm like, oh, man, today I get steak because I got the free entree. Yeah, free upgrade, you know? And so I'm going, I'm like ordering my steak. And then the guy says, do you want queso? Now, I got a sweet spot in my heart for queso at Chipotle. It is good, man. It makes or breaks the bowl. You get what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about. And so I go up there, but I'm like, well, because it's $1.40 extra, okay? And I'm like, well, I got this free thing. Does this include queso? And then the guy didn't know. So he yells at the top of his lungs over to the register guy. You know, it's like three people away. He's like, hey, Bill, I don't know. He's like, hey, Bill, all right, hey, this guy has a free entree on his phone. He's wanting to know if he could get queso or is that going to cost him? And he yells it out to the whole restaurant. Now, I'm like, dude, come on. Like, this place is packed. I feel like everybody's looking at me. And then, and then the guy at the register is like, no, he's got to pay the extra. I think it's like $1.40. And so he looks at me. He's got a spoon already dug in there. I could see the queso just dripping down. And he's like, so you want it? It's like hovering over my bowl. And I'm like, the whole restaurant, I feel like, is watching me. And I say, no queso for me. I'm like, I would rather not pay the $1.40. And there's just something about paying $1.40 for sauce that just really rubs me the wrong way, all right? But I'm just like, no, you know. It's just embarrassing, all right? But for me, it's just who I am, man. It's hard for me to let my grip even off of a dollar, okay? $1.40, even off of money. It's just hard for me to do that. And so even as a pastor, right, years ago when Kate and I first got married, all right, man, I struggled with giving. Like, I don't like buying things that I really like queso, all right, for cheap, all right? I don't like doing that, all right, let alone giving my money away. Like, that was just hard for me to do. And for me, I wanted to be generous. I think every single person in this room, like, we all want to be generous in general, all right? But for me, it was like it'd be at the end of the month, and the money just wouldn't be there. And I'd give, like, a little bit. I wasn't meeting my goal, which was 10%, which I think is, again, the baseline from what God tells us to do. And I wanted to do it. It just wasn't there, and it just didn't happen. See, that's the thing we as Americans do, and myself included. We think, I'm not rich, but I am generous. That's what we think. I think most of us in this room, that's the way we think. But in reality, we are rich, especially by worldly standards. We're filthy rich in that sense, right? And we are not generous. Now, we think this. The reason why we do this is because we measure our richness not based on what we have, which is reality. All right, we don't base it off reality. We base it not off of what we have, but we base it off of what we want. Right? That's how we base how wealthy we feel, based off how we want, not what we actually have. And then what's crazy about it is we measure our generosity not based off what we actually give, which is reality, by the way. We base our generosity off of what we wish we could give. We measure our intentions when it comes to generosity, not our actual actions. I mean, we think to ourselves, we're like, well, if I had $1 million, I would give. I'd be so generous with $1 million. Or if I won the lottery, man, I'd pay for this whole project, all right? No problem. By the way, I'll be praying for that. If that's true, we'll get this thing done. That'd make my life way easier, okay? But that's what we think. If I won the lottery, man, I'd be so generous. I'd give you some. Yeah, no problem. I'd give you some. I'd be so generous. Yet we aren't generous with what God has already given us. The reality is we don't have a good track record of legitimately being generous. See, what helped me back when Kate and I were first married and we had no money? I mean, Kate, she came, we got married, and I married into debt. Okay, school debt, and she had this, you know, we were paying off her school loans, and she had this degree, graphic design. There's very hard to find a graphic design job in Green Springs, Ohio, okay? All right, we were trying Tiffin, Fremont, we were trying Sandusky, we were trying all over the place. We couldn't find a job in her field, and so she ended up working at like a temp agency for a while, which is fine. And then she had like a part-time job over here at Peebles and Tiffin, you know, for a while. And then that got, you know, I don't know what happened to Peebles. It died. And you know, we were going through all this stuff. Sometimes I would calculate. I remember one time she got called in for like 2 hours. We lived in Green Springs. She drove here to Tiffin, and she drove in my truck, which is a gas guzzler, okay? And I'm like doing the math, and I'm like, you made like $12. Oh, take away taxes. And it cost you like $15 in gas to get there. What are we doing? We're like losing money, you working. You know, I was like thinking that. I'm just like, man, this is just not working. But for me, when Kate and I, when we first got married and we had no money, what helped us be generous, I mean, generosity was so difficult for us. What helped us is we learned what God said about money. And then the even harder part is we started doing money God's way. Meaning we learned what God had to say about it and we actually started doing it. And for me, when I started doing money God's way, dude, it changed me. Right? What it changed? Well, I started, is a thing in my mind. I started realizing at some point down the line, it finally clicked in me. I realized that, oh, I'm the manager of God's money, not the owner. And how I manage his money, man, that matters. Jesus, he actually talks about this one day. He's out talking to the crowds and he turns towards his followers and he kind of tells a weird story. This is what he says. He says, there was a rich man. He's like, picture this, guys, picture this, all right? He says, there was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions, all right? So there's this rich guy, he's got a bunch of money. He's got this manager who's supposed to be managing his money and he's just like blowing it all, okay? Not good. And so he called in that manager and he's like, yo, what's this I hear about you? All right, like I've heard some bad stuff. What I need you to do is I want you to give an account of your management. I want to see where all the money is going because you are fired. All right, that's what he says. But before he lets him go, he gives him this opportunity, a small amount of time and a little bit of opportunity. And he says, I want you to organize all the loose ends together and I want you to give it to me because you're fired. And for the manager, he now has this little bit of time to figure out what he is going to do. And so the manager comes up with a plan. It says, so the manager, he called in each one of his master's debtors, okay? So he's lending out money to all these people, and back then, a lot of it was like, you know, goods and stuff. And he asked the first guy, the first debtor who owes his master money, he's like, hey, he asked the first one. He says, how much do you owe my master? And then this guy says, well, I owe your master like 100 measures of olive oil. By the way, that's like 875 gallons of olive oil. That's a lot of olive oil, right? Okay, so that's a lot. And he says, all right, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your invoice, and I want you to sit down quickly before anybody sees, and I want you to take that and scratch that, and I want you to cut it in half, all right? Instead of owing my master 100 measures, now you only owe him 50. And so that guy, I mean, he's looking at this manager. He's like, oh, man, thanks, dude. I really appreciate that. You're going to cut my bill in half? Man, that's great. I really appreciate it. If you ever need anything, don't hesitate to call, okay? And the manager's like, all right, good. So then he calls in another one. And he says, hey, how much do you owe my master? He's like, well, I owe 100 measures of wheat. That's like 700 pounds of wheat. That's a lot of wheat. And so he's like, all right, let's break that down a little bit. He says, why don't you, let's make it 80. How about 80? Can you pay up 80? The guy's like, okay, I can do 80 right now. And then he does it, and he's like, man, I'm going to remember that. Thank you. And the manager's going, okay, all right, I'll be remembering that you'll remember that. And he does this over and over again. Basically, he takes all this money that he has wasted, and he's actually doing it even more. But what he's also doing is he's making friends with these people that he is helping out. So at this point, as Jesus is telling the story, the crowd that he's talking to, I mean, they're just like, dude, this guy is terrible, right? He was wasting so much money before, but now he's really wasting all for his own greed, all so that it makes him look better. Like, this guy is done. Like, this is fraud. Like, this guy should be in prison or something. And then Jesus gives a twist. He says, when the owner, right, the master, when he found out, he praised the unrighteous manager, right? It's almost like he starts smiling and he starts laughing. He's like, man, you got me, all right? You got me. Why? Because the manager had acted shrewdly, right? The master compliments the manager. Why? Because he has thought this through. He's come up with the crowd with a plan. And then Jesus jumps out of the story, and the whole crowd, they're all listening. I mean, if you could picture this, they're all just like, what is going on? Like, this doesn't make any sense. And then Jesus gets really confusing. Check this out. Now he's talking to us. He says, for the children of this age, meaning the people outside these walls, the people that have not given their lives over to Jesus yet, which is some people in here as well, he says, they are more shrewd than the children of light. By the way, church, that is supposed to be us. He says, they're more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people. Well, what does he mean by that? He says, and I tell you, now here he's getting personal to you. He says, I want you to make friends for yourselves by means of worldly wealth so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwellings. Now, what the heck is Jesus saying there? Jesus is basically, he's gathering his disciples together and he's got this crowd around him. He's like, look at how the world lives. Right? Look at how the world lives. The world is born, they live it up, and then they die. All right? That's just how it works. And the world knows how to use money to take care of themselves. All right? The world knows how to use money. See, the world gets it. Right? The world has a goal. The people who have not given their life to Jesus, they have a goal, and that is to be happy, be comfortable, and live for yourselves for the rest of your life until you die. Okay? That's the goal, ultimate goal. And we, by the way, as Jesus followers, we too have our goal. It's just our goal is different. Our goal is to do whatever we possibly can to reach as many people as we possibly can for Jesus. And there is urgency to our mission and to our goal. And here's Jesus, he's just pointing out to us, he's saying, hey, the world is so much better at leveraging resources to accomplish their goal than we are. He's like, think about the world, right? All they have at stake is their personal, temporary happiness. What do we have at stake? Just the eternity of all the people around us. It's so much more. It's so much more important. And so in this verse, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, use worldly wealth. He's saying, use your resources and your money that God has given you to make friends. What's he mean by make friends? To impact the people around you positively towards Jesus so that when it fails, which it will, because it always does. And in the end, you ultimately will die and you can't take anything with you, so that when it fails, that they may go to heaven, meaning they have given their life over to Jesus because of your investment, because of the way that you leverage your resources. And that someday, what's he say? Actually, they'll be the ones welcoming you into heaven because of how you leverage your resources that God has given you. See, that's our story. I mean, can you picture that? I mean, it's this idea that he's like, hey, man, if you leverage your resources to help reach people, someday some of those people, they're going to be the ones welcoming you into heaven. Right? It's a cool thing to think about. See, the owner here compliments the manager not for being a jerk, which he was, but for taking advantage of the limited time and the limited opportunity that he was given. And Jesus' point is we are to do the same. See, for us, when it comes to money and wealth and resources and stuff, we are to view our stuff through the big picture of how do I get maximum use with the little stuff and the little time and the little bit of opportunity that I have to make an eternal difference. See, God doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. What you do with your money reflects where your heart's at. See, everything you have has been given to you by God to be stewarded to save others. Everything that you think you have, it's his stuff. And I think our church here in Tiffin has been okay at this, not great. In fact, statistically, kind of by far, we're the least giving campus out of our three campuses. And I'll be honest with you, and we don't know what anybody gives or anything like that. We just know statistics and stuff. But I'll be honest with you, that makes me feel a little guilty. You know, and the fact that I'm like, okay, I'm not leading our people well in this area. And Jesus talked about this area, money and possessions, all the time. It's like 15% of the things that Jesus said was all about possessions and money. All right, just crazy. And here, I feel like, I'm like, man, maybe I'm not doing a good job at this. But even with that, right? Even though we aren't good at this, look what God has done. Right? 3 years ago, we launched our Everyone on Three initiative. That was all three campuses for 3 years. We're going to focus on three goals. If you remember what those are, a lot of you guys were here. A lot of you guys weren't here 3 years ago. And so just to recap, all right, that was number one, we wanted to create children's space. By the way, we did that. At all three campuses, we created children's space because churches that do not invest in the next generation die. Here in Tiffin specifically, we built a $2 million facility with a big playground. The hangar is pretty awesome. And that place has only been open for 2.5 weeks, and it has been packed out. I shared with you guys last week, as of last Sunday, so I didn't get any numbers for this week. But as of last Sunday, we had 583 people who have never stepped foot into these doors before or at any of our campuses that have walked through that have used that facility, okay? It's an introduction. It's a great introduction to our church. I honestly thought this was going to be a great thing, and I thought it would work. I did not know it was going to work this well, this fast. But it is. Our problem is we just don't have space to put any of those people, which is an issue for us. And so we're able to do that at all three campuses, right? We also wanted to train 20 leaders. That was our second goal. Seven of these leaders were directly involved with our Tiffin campus here. And then our third thing was we wanted to launch a new campus by the end of 2025. We did not try hard on this. We didn't think, launching a campus is so difficult. We didn't think that this was possible. Yet we put it on there, and then lo and behold, about a year ago, we were able to purchase a dead church in Sandusky. We were able to purchase that in cash, and so that's going to be our new Sandusky campus that we're going to launch at the end of September that we are super excited about. Pastor Luke is going to be the one leading that. And then, just so you guys know, we were able to hire back Pastor AJ, who's going to go to Sandusky with Luke, and he is going to lead our student ministry over in Sandusky. All right, so we're excited about that. And so let me just say this. If you were a part of Everyone on Three, thank you. We accomplish everything by God's grace that we set out to accomplish in that. If you are sitting here and you're like, man, I don't know if I finished up my commitment or whatever that was. I don't know what those things are. I don't want you to give to Everyone on Three anymore. It's done. It's over. From this point on, right, I want you to look forward to what we're going to do for our bold move. And so this week in your bulletin, you got one of these cards. This is just a commitment card. I was talking with some people at our church a couple months ago, and several people asked me the same question. They said, how many people have to give what? And so I did some math, and I came up with a breakdown. That, by the way, is on the back of this card. And here at Tiffin, it looks like we're going to have to raise $5 million to build this building. Now, some of you guys might be thinking, well, I thought you said 8.5. What's going on here? We are planning to get help from the other campuses, right, because we're not in this alone, to get that building up. And then we also know that there's a decent probability of us getting somewhat of a loan to also help us get that thing built. And so that's what we need to do. But I look at some of these numbers. Again, I broke it down as best I can. It doesn't have to be exactly like this. This is just like a way that it could happen. But even this looks impossible to me. Like, there's things on there I just can't do because I don't have that. You know what I mean? But what I'm asking you to do is in 2 weeks, we're going to have a commitment Sunday, and I want you to bring your card. And what we're asking you to do is circle one of the lines that you might be in, right? So this means we need 10 people to give $75,000 over a four-year period, 12 people, 50, 20 people, 25, you know, all the way up and down. That's what we're looking at doing. That's what we need to make this possible. And so we extended that from 3 years to 4 years to try to help with that. But in two weeks, we're going to ask you to commit. And we're going to ask you to circle one. And if you can't fit, if one of these doesn't work for you, we have a line at the bottom that's just other, and you can write in whatever custom, you know, you want to do. But we're not going to hold you to your commitment, right? I'm not going to know what it is. The system will send you out an update, I think quarterly, that will help you kind of keep track over the 4 years. I will ask that whatever you circle or whatever you put down, I ask that it be realistic. Because we're going to be making some pretty big decisions based off of those numbers, okay? The other thing that I'm asking is for you, don't fill this card out today. I know some of you guys, you're already like, oh, well, this is what I already know. All right, don't do that today, all right? We're not asking for this card today. I don't want your card today. What I want you to do is I want you to go through the process, meaning I want you to talk to God about it a whole lot. That's what I'm doing. I want you to talk it over, right, with your spouse. I want you to get creative. That's something that Kate and I are going to be doing, and I want you to make a bold move individually or as a couple to what you think you can do to make this happen. And again, in 2 weeks on our Commitment Sunday, that's when I'm going to ask you to turn in your cards. And if you know you're going to be on vacation or something, all right, that day you're going to be out of town for work or whatever that might be, then turn it in afterwards or let us know a different way. But for the next 2 weeks, I'm asking for three things. I'm asking for you to commit to being here. I'm asking you to pray for us individually, all right, that you figure out what do you think God wants you to do financially. I also want you to pray for us as a church, which I hope you're doing on a like every day. And then I want you to be thinking about how you can make that work. And so the question I want you asking yourself is, am I honoring God with my first and my best? Because you're giving your first and best to something. We all are. The question is, who gets it or what gets it? God doesn't do well with leftovers. And so that's what I want us thinking about as we take this next step as a church family and we accomplish our next goal and we get through this the next few years. It's going to be crazy, but it's such an exciting time to be a part of our church. And I'm so excited to lead this thing. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this church family that you've given us. Lord, you have been so good to us. God, you've allowed us to see like the accomplishments, I guess, of our work. You've allowed us to see so many people like Spencer that have given their lives to you through this church. God, that it's just crazy to think about 5.5 years ago where we would all be in this room because we weren't all here. It's a new family that you put together. And you don't have to show us the success. You just tell us to work and do and to tell people about Jesus. But here, not only have we done that, but you have allowed us to see the fruits of that. And God, we thank you so much for that. And we thank you for loving us. God, we ask that as we take this next step as a church family, it's the biggest step I think our church has ever done before. God, we ask that you would help us be bold. And you'd help us to be willing to sacrifice. And we do this step together. God, we ask for this, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll see you guys back here next Sunday, and we hope that you have a good week.